grateful, we're both grateful for the warmth and friendship and love that you've shown for us already. Paul said if any of you haven't spoke to him, well, there possibly are a few, but I think most of you got around to saying hello this morning, and that was good. Now I want you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. Do you ever read a novel and you think, that was a clever plot? That man has got, that was a really clever plot. How he thought that one up. Well, you know, when you read Ezekiel 37 and you see what this says about God's purpose in saving a people, you think this was more than mere human intellect thought this one up. This is a story that was penned with divine help. Ezekiel was inspired when he wrote this. These are the scriptures which speak of Christ, he said. And that's what we're looking for tonight. We're looking for Christ tonight. We want, as Spurgeon said, wherever we start, we want to find a road to him. You know, this book is not just a book of interesting stories, though it is that. They're interesting stories. As a child, I used to love Bible stories. I really did. I don't know if you did. I used to go and watch films like Samson and Delilah and all those things. They had them all at the cinema, and I used to really love to go and see those stories because they're good stories. But if you stay there, it profits you nothing. You've got to find Christ. You've got to look for Christ and find him if you want a blessing. Now here we have this story, and people have written songs about it. This macabre scene, this sinister scene of this valley of dry bones. And you know the song, them bones, them dry bones. What we have here is not a biology lesson. You know, it's not just about bits of calcium, bone and sinews and flesh coming together. That's not what we've got here. We've got God's plan of salvation, his purpose in saving a people for himself. And it's all here in this wonderful account. And I just want to go through it simply. I just want to take you through it verse by verse. It's been a tremendous blessing to me to look into this, to study it again. Let's look at verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley, and it was full of bones. Can you imagine that scene? A valley full of bones. We went up to Pikeville to see Gary Shepherd in the week, and there are a lot of valleys up there. You know, it's windy country valleys, and imagine being set down in those. Some of those valleys are full of a lot of trash up there towards Pikeville. There's a lot of evidence of the mining industry, but you imagine a valley full of bones, a lot of bones in there. Not just some, not just a few bones, but it was full of bones. You couldn't walk for the bones that there were there. They were everywhere. And bones speak of death. You find some bones, if you're out for a walk and you find some bones, oh, you say there was an animal and it died, something died. They speak of death. Now in verse 2, he says that God caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. God said to him, walk around, Ezekiel, walk around. Take a good look. Pass around this place. And what he saw was that there were very many. He couldn't count them. He couldn't begin to count them. There were very, very many. And they were very dry. Very dead. You know, if you see a bone in the butcher's shop that a dog would like to take and gnaw on, it'll be a fresh bone. It'll have moisture in it. It'll have bone marrow in it. But these were very dead bones. Not fresh dead. These were very dead. These bones were not an emergency case. You know, no good calling the ambulance to sort out these bones. These were very dead bones. If you go to London and you go to the British Museum, you'll see there an Egyptian mummy. Do you know what an Egyptian mummy is? A dead body of one of the pharaohs wrapped in cloth. If you see that guy, you don't call for an ambulance to come and revive him. Mouth-to-mouth resuscitation won't do any good with one of those. They're long since dead. They're very, very dead. No hope of resuscitation at all. Now what's this speaking of? Well, it's speaking of us in our natural state. Man in his natural state. Ephesians 2 talks about us being dead in trespasses and sins. Not sick, not ill, not unwell in trespasses and sins, but dead in trespasses and sins. Dead. This is the natural man. This is us as we are naturally. 1 Corinthians tells us in chapter 2 and verse 14 that the natural man, as we are, we cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. We just can't understand them because they're spiritually discerned. They're not naturally discerned. You can't explain to somebody by just sheer intellect and the power of your ability to explain the things of the Spirit of God. We're dead in trespasses and sins, Paul says. Dead. It's a hopeless case as it stands naturally. A valley full of dry bones. And this is the world in which we live. This is us by nature as we are. People are dead in trespasses and sins, unable to respond. Just as a dead man can't hear. You go down to the mortuary and you shout to a dead man to tell him to get up, he's not going to move. You go and preach a sermon, go down to the cemetery and preach, nobody's going to get up. They're dead. And that's how we are. As far as spiritual life is concerned, we're dead in trespasses and sins. There's no human cure for this death either. You know, back in Numbers, where with the children of Israel being bitten by the serpents, the fiery serpents, and they were bitten by them and they became ill and they were dying, and there was no human cure. No human cure at all. The only cure was to look to that brazen serpent and live. Well, this death that Ezekiel saw here, it shows the state that we are naturally. We're dead in trespasses and sins. Well, verse 3, God asks Ezekiel a question. He said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live?" So I answered, "O Lord God, you know. You know." Can they live, Ezekiel? No, of course they can't. These bones can't live. They're long since dead. Sinner, you've been dead since Adam fell. When he fell, you died in him. He was your representative. You died in him. When he fell, that sealed it for you naturally. But this question here is pregnant with anticipation. Son of man, can these bones live? There's some anticipation in there. It's good to see that one or two of the ladies are pregnant in this assembly. Something's going to happen, isn't it? You know, they're not going to stay that way. Something's going to happen. We're looking forward to some new children. There's some anticipation. Well, this question is pregnant with anticipation. Something's going to happen. God says, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And what does Ezekiel say? "Oh Lord, you know. You know." Why did Ezekiel say that? "Oh Lord, you know." Well, Ezekiel knew God. He knew his God, and he knew that God knew. Can they live? "You know, Lord. You are omniscient. You know all things. You know the beginning from the end. You know everything." And he's omnipotent. He's able to do all things. Can they live? Certainly doesn't look like it. They're dead. They're dry bones. Very, very dry bones. Can they live? "But you're God. You are God." Why does God know? Because God ordains. That's why he knows. God doesn't just stand there, as it were, with a telescope. And he's not a fortune teller. He doesn't just see what's going to happen. He's not just sitting back thinking, "I wonder what's going to happen next. Oh, look there, that's what's going to happen next." No, God knows because God ordains. My times are in his hands. You know that plane I was telling you about this morning? Coming over here with a threat, may not have been much of a threat, but a threat of terrorist activity. And you say, "Well, I'm in his hands." And if there was a terrorist, That terrorist is in his hands. It's all in his hands. He controls everything. He works in the affairs of men. You look at the things that are happening in the world today. Throughout history, it's his story. He ordains it. It doesn't just happen. You know, the great world events that we're seeing, things that you just couldn't have imagined 3 or 4 years ago, and look what's happening. It's the hand of God. He's just working in the affairs of men. He moves kings. It says in one of the Psalms that, maybe it's Isaiah, I forget, but right from a prince, an ambassador, comes from one country to another, and it's by the ordination of God, and a bird of prey flies. Have you ever seen birds flying across the countryside? And you think, I wonder where they're going. You know, they know exactly where they're going. The flight of the bird is ordained by God. Amazing. You know, we just need to get hold of that. How much God is in control, how sovereign he is over everything. God knew, because God ordains. God does it. So that's why Ezekiel could say, O Lord, you know. Then verse 4, God gives him a directive. Verse 4, again he said to me, prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. God says, Ezekiel, you, Ezekiel, a man, a sinner. Ezekiel, just an ordinary man. Prophesy to these bones. Preach to them. How's God going to do something with these dry bones? He says to a man, a sinner, prophesy to them. Preach to them. Well, isn't that foolishness? How's preaching going to raise these dead people? How's preaching going to raise people in this world? We as we naturally are, dead in trespasses and sins. How are we going to be raised to life? God says to Ezekiel, preach to them. Preach what to them? Preach what? The word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. And what does that mean? All sorts of people worldwide are standing up in pulpits and they're preaching from this book. Lots of people say they base their religion on this book. They're preaching, they think, the word of the Lord. Well, what is it to preach the word of the Lord? Well, I believe with all my heart that what this means is to preach Christ. Because Christ is that word. He is that word. The written word, this word written down, reveals him. Right through from beginning to end, it reveals Christ. What was the purpose? Why did God give us this book? Did he give us this book just to tell us how to live? Or to tell us what he's like? Or things like this? Well, he did give us all these, the book for all these things. But the reason he gave us this book is to reveal to his people the way of salvation in Christ. To make it known to them. That's why he gave this book. And that way of salvation is Christ. And so this preaching, the word of the Lord, is to preach Christ, who is the word of the Lord. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's what it is to preach the word of the Lord, to preach Christ. We can only know God in Christ. You know how Philip said, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. That will do. We just want to see the Father. And he said, Philip, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not known me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. It's in Christ. This is what Ezekiel was to do. Preach Christ to them. And that's what we're to do. Preach Christ to dead sinners. A moralistic sermon telling people how to behave is never going to raise a dead sinner to newness of life. You can preach law to sinners till the cows come home, and you will never transform or reform anybody. In fact, we were thinking of this just before. In fact, you'll do the opposite. You'll just produce more sin. That's right, you'll just produce more sin. You know that natural tendency of the heart? You see the nice ornamental garden. One of my sons, the youngest one, said one day, we're walking through a park and it's got this beautiful grass. And there's a sign there saying, keep off the grass. And he said to me, "Do you know what that makes me want to do? Go on the grass." It does. So preach the word of the Lord. Preach Christ. Preach God's salvation in Christ. Preach the person of Christ. That he's God and that he's man. As we saw this morning in Galatians 4, that he came, God sent his Son to redeem us. He came, he became subject to the law to redeem those who are under the law. Preach the work of Christ to redeem his people. That Christ chose them. The Father chose them. That Christ came and purchased them. That he sanctifies them. That he justifies them. That he's redeemed them. That's what it is to preach the word of the Lord. To tell dead sinners that there is life in Christ. And that he got the job done. He really did get the job done. Not just to say it depends on you. You know how preachers say, oh, you make your decision and then what Christ did will apply to you. No, when he came to redeem a people for himself. And he did it. He said it is finished because he accomplished that work. He got the job done. He became for his people wisdom from God. Oh, you want to know about God? You want to know something of the things of God? It's in Christ. Christ Jesus became for us wisdom from God and righteousness. All the righteousness that we need to approach a holy God, an awesome holy God. That holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. All in Christ. And sanctification. Sanctification, set apart in him, and redemption. All of those things are in Christ. That's what it is to preach Christ. That's what it is to preach the word of the Lord. To point to Christ and to say that's where salvation is. You need somebody to live and to die and to rise in your place, and Christ is that one. That's what it is to preach the word of the Lord. So Ezekiel came into this valley. And there were all these bones, speaking of dead men. And God sent a man to tell them that he'd made a way of salvation. That's what it is. When you come and you preach the gospel to a congregation of dead sinners, and you pronounce it and they're dead, that's what God says do. Point to Christ, point to Christ. That's the only way. And God said he would cause life to come in. Surely, verse 5, thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. He would cause it. Christ is the life. He is the light of life. And if he comes in, you will have life, and you will have it more abundantly. Christ is that life. In him was life. And the dry bones will live. And dead sinners will hear of Christ and will believe him and will live. They will do that which they can't do naturally because he, God, will cause it. I like that story in the Gospels of the man with the withered arm. What was the one thing that the man with the withered arm couldn't do? Stretch it out. What did Christ tell him to do? Stretch it out. What did he do? He stretched it out. You see, he gave him the power to do that which he couldn't do. And so God said he would do with these dead bones. He would give them the power to do that which they couldn't do, which was to live. And dead sinners hear of Christ, they believe in him, and they live. Oh, you know, this word of God is powerful. It really is. It's powerful. Hebrews 1 verse 3 talks about upholding all things by his powerful word. And chapter 4 of Hebrews verse 12 tells us that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It affects both the soul and the body. It affects the spiritual side of life and it affects the physical side of life. It's a powerful thing, is this word of the Lord. You know, it really has an effect. You know, in Revelation, when John was told to eat the little book, and it was sweet in his mouth and it was bitter in his stomach. It affected his being. This is a powerful book. And it's a two-edged sword. We don't have, we're blessed because we don't have the American televangelists over in Britain, at least not yet. They're trying to bring one of them in on a satellite, but not many people have satellite TV as yet. And we're blessed that we don't have that. We saw one the other night, just as an example. We saw one who was ranting and raving, and he was quoting scripture after scripture after scripture. And he was cutting himself to pieces with this two-edged sword. He was wielding a two-edged sword, and he was just making a total mess of the job. All sorts of things he was saying. He was quoting scriptures totally out of context. This is why we have to... It's a powerful thing, but we have to use it carefully, and we have to use it wisely. And, you know, not go off on a tangent. And listen to the ones whom God has given as gifts to the church. Listen to your pastor, because he's been given gifts to explain this word, to handle it wisely, to rightly divide it. It's a powerful thing, is this word of God. Anyway, changes happened. God promised that he would put sinews on them and bring flesh upon them and cover them with skin and put breath in them, and that they would live, and then they would know that he is the Lord. And then verse 7. So Ezekiel did it. He preached. So I prophesied, as I was commanded. I prophesied, and there was a noise. A noise. Can you imagine the scene? This valley of dry bones, totally silent. Just dry, white bones, bleached in the sun. Long dead. Long since dead. And he preaches to them. And there's a little noise. A little rattling. A rattling as the bones come together. And they come together and they start to look like people. They're just a pile of dry bones, and they start to come together, bone on bone. And they start to form skeletons. And the sinews come upon them, and the muscle and the flesh and the skin clothes them around. Amazing. I prophesied and there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over. But there was no breath in them. There was no breath in them. They looked like men. They began to look like men. They were covered with flesh. They looked like men. Oh, there's so much that's deceptive in this life. I don't know if you have one here, but in Britain we have Madame Tussauds. Have you ever heard of Madame Tussauds? It's a wax works, and they make wax models of people, life-size wax models. And if you ever go to London, you can go and visit Madame Tussauds, and there are historical characters, and there are all the politicians of the day. You'd be able to go there and you'd be able to see George Bush there. And do you know, they're so lifelike. They really are. They're so lifelike. There's one of the London policemen, you know, with his London policeman's hat. And people, many, many people have been seen to go up to the policeman and to ask him the time or the direction. He looks alive. He really does look like a living policeman. Such a good impression of the real thing. Do you know, there's so much of that in religion today. A certain amount of preaching makes a lot of dead sinners look like God's people. It really does. But no breath in them. No breath. Lots of noise and rattling as it all comes together. And they look like live people. They look like the children of God. But no breath in them. Oh, beware of dead religion. Oh, that he would keep us from dead religion. It's so deceptive. Fellowship here is so alive. Just cling to that. Keep looking to Christ. Keep relying on him to keep that alive. Well, they came together. They looked like living people, but they weren't. What does he say? There was no breath in them. Verse 9. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath. That's what it says in my version. The breath of life. Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. Breathe on these slain that they may live. What's he saying? He's saying this, call down the Holy Spirit on these people. Not in the way that the charismatics abuse the Holy Spirit, but call down the Holy Spirit. Oh, you know, without the quickening power of the Holy Spirit, all that we do is in vain. All preaching is empty. It's just vain words. All supposed spiritual life is just a sham unless He makes it alive. We always so much need that. Psalm 104, verse 30 says this, "You send forth your Spirit, and they are created." Just turn over in the New Testament to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I love this verse here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. See what it says here. "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness." What's he talking about? He's talking about the creation of the world, the creation of the universe. And who was it there back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3? The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Holy Spirit was there. That God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts, who has given us spiritual light, shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where? In the face of Jesus Christ. That's it. You want to see the glory of God? It's in the face of Jesus Christ. Who enables you to see it? Who shines that light in so that you can see it? The Holy Spirit. The one who is hovering over those waters at creation. The one who brought it to life. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 3. This is talking about Christ in his work. "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit of God." Instrumental in that. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Don't turn to it, there's no need to. "Not by might, nor by power, but by your Spirit, says the Lord." By my Spirit, sorry, says the Lord. It's by the Spirit of God that things happen, that things are brought to life, that dead form, just a dead outward form, is given life. And he says back here in Ezekiel 37, verse 9, "Come from the four winds, prophesied, come from the four winds." And that reminds me of John chapter 3, "The wind bloweth where it listeth." You can't tell where it's going to come from. Prophesy, say, "Come from the four winds." So is everyone, Christ told Nicodemus, so is everyone who is born of the Spirit of God. The wind blows where it listeth. Oh, call down that Spirit upon them. Breathe on these slain. Breathe on these who have been killed by sin. Breathe on them, that they may live. Verse 10, "So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them." These dummies that were standing there, these ones that looked like living beings, he prophesied to them and breath came into them and they lived. Abundant life in Christ. Have you experienced that? The abundant life that there is in Christ. Romans 8:21 talks about the bondage of corruption, death and decay, just like that valley of bones, but then being transformed into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Abundant life in Christ. In Revelation 11, we have that picture of the two witnesses dead in the street, speaking of the church, and the breath of life comes into them, and they stand on their feet in the street. They lived, verse 10, they lived. They stood on their feet, and they were an exceedingly great army. From very many, very dry bones, to an exceedingly great army. Now, what do you know about an army? Well, one thing you know is you know how many you've got. And God knows who are His. God knows who are His. You look at an army and it's made up of battalions and regiments and platoons and ranks and files and squadrons. Over in England, we have every year a ceremony called the Trooping of the Colour. And I think the majority of people watching it are actually American tourists over there in the centre of London. And usually it's a nice sunny day and the Queen rides by on her horse and all the troops come out in all of their regalia, and the television cameras are there, and you can see them all marching in rank. Can you imagine if there was one of them missing out of that rank? You know, you'd see a gap there. One of them's missing. You can see with an army how many you've got. And so it is with God's people. He has a certain number. He accomplished this work of salvation for his people. Those that he predestined. Those that he called. They're the ones that he did this for. Verse 11, he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. The whole house of Israel. You know, turn over to Revelation chapter 11. I just want to show you this. Revelation chapter 11. These bones, the whole house of Israel. You know what we're doing here is what it says in Revelation 11, verse 1. Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court, which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. And they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. He was measuring the temple. He was measuring the people of God, those who worship there at the altar. That altar is Christ and his cross. Those who worship there are his people. But what does he say? Don't measure those outside. Don't measure it. Don't be concerned about that. It's the fixed number of the people of God, his elect people, those that were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's who this whole army of Israel is. And that's what these bones represent. They came to life and they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. And they were all there, all in their ranks. A complete army. And that's who Christ died for. He died for all of his people. It wasn't a let's see who will come situation. Let's go and make something possible and then just sit back and maybe nobody will come. I mean, if people understood how dry these bones are, well, they just give up preaching straight away. They just give up. Because they're dead. Nobody would come. Can you imagine that? Christ accomplishing that work and then sitting back to see who's going to take it up. Would you have taken it up? Would I have? I know I wouldn't have ever taken it up as I am. No way. Without the reviving work of the Spirit of God within. Without the gospel being shown, the glory of God being shown in the face of Jesus Christ, I never would have seen that. Never would have done. Human intellect never ever would have shown me that. This is the whole house of Israel. Everyone chosen in Christ and redeemed by him. And all of them are going to live. All of them. Why are we still here? Why are we still here? Why are we still preaching? Why is this world still rolling on? Do you know why? The army is not complete yet. There's still some to make up the ranks. They're coming in, but it's not complete yet. And as soon as it's complete, this whole order of things will come to an end. Christ was obliged to intercede and to stand surety for his people, and he fulfilled that obligation. And none will be lost. He said none of them will be lost. You've read, I'm sure, of the 99 sheep that were safe. 99 of them were safe, but one of them was lost. And what did he do? He went out after that one sheep that was lost till he found it. That's it. He's not going to be satisfied with 99. They've all got to be there. The whole army's got to be there. An exceeding great army. The temple of God. The church of God is likened to the temple, the building. And in that building there was not one brick missing. So what he says to Ezekiel is, preach to dead men and women, and the Spirit of God comes into all who are Christ's and makes them alive. Oh, this is a tremendous thing. Tremendous thing. Now look at verse 11. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry. Our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. What's that talking about? Well, notice this. These that were dry bones, they now say. They say something. They're alive. They've come alive. They say something. They have some spiritual life. And what is it that they're conscious of? That their bones are dry. They're made up of dry bones. Isn't that how you feel? If you're in Christ, if you're a believer, you love Him, you follow Him, but oh, you're conscious that you're made up of a bag of dry bones. It's old flesh. Isn't it? Isn't that the way it is? You know, we have newness of life. The Spirit of God has breathed in spiritual life, and yet we're still made up of sinful flesh. Our bones are dry. Our hope is lost. We're strangers in this land. We're wandering around. You know, we're not all together. You say, well, where's the army? It's scattered. You can't see it in battalions, can you? You can't see it that way. It doesn't look like a great multitude. You look around and, oh, there's just a few, but there's going to be an exceeding great army. But whilst we're in this flesh, we say, oh, we're made up of dry bones. Oh, this sinful flesh. And our hope is lost. You know, we just don't see the army as it is. We're cut off. But we say constantly, in me, that is, in my flesh dwells no good thing. We're strangers in the foreign land. But look what God says to Ezekiel, verse 12. Prophesy to them again. Keep preaching to them. That's why we need to keep coming back. You know, the manna had to be gathered daily. It went off. It got maggots in it. You know, you keep coming back. Keep hearing this word of the Lord. Keep coming under preaching. He says to Ezekiel, prophesy to them and say this to them, verse 12. Thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people. Look there, His people. O my people. Oh, if you're in Christ tonight, He's talking to you. Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up. These bones, they're going to die. They're going to return back to dust. But He says, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. He's speaking about glory. He's speaking about eternity. He's going to raise us up with Him. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. It's not always going to be so as we see it. It just isn't. Things are not going to carry on as they are. It's started now. Ephesians 2 says that He caused us to be alive. He's raised us up. We're tasting these spiritual blessings. But we're in this flesh. But we're going to be rid of all trace of these old dry bones. As John says, we're going to be like Him. For we'll see Him as He is. We shall all be resurrected. If we're in Christ, we're going to stand up a great and mighty army in the land of Israel. That's talking about heaven. And as we saw this morning, when we get there, we won't be in this flesh where, although we have faith and we have hope, it gets blurred. It comes in and out of focus. There'll be no more. We will know. We will see. We will experience. And we'll know that He spoke, and we'll know that He performed it. What a blessing. Look at verse 14 there. I will put my Spirit in you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. None of these distractions around us. None of these distortions of the truth. He will place us in our own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. What a blessing that's going to be. What a blessing it is now to taste of that eternal life. Are you in that army? Do you know you're in that army? Have you heard that quickening voice of God? Have you been raised to newness of life in Christ? Well, if so, you'll give God all of the glory. It's all His work, all of it from beginning to end. All of it. You'll stand amazed and you'll wonder. We were talking this morning. You'll just stand amazed and you'll wonder, why this old collection of dry bones here? Why me? Why me? There's nothing in me to recommend me to God. Why this old collection of bones? And you just have to say, well, I don't know why. I don't know why. And you'll just praise Him for His grace in Christ. Praise Him for His grace to me, a sinner. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the life which is in Christ. And we thank you for the quickening power of the Holy Spirit, which is applied as your word is preached. Oh, we thank you for this powerful word of God. Oh, Lord, we pray that you will anoint preaching here every time our brother stands up to preach here. Oh, Lord, we pray that you would anoint him with your Holy Spirit, that you would come into dry bones and that you would make them alive by your Spirit. Oh, Lord, we pray that your word might be used wisely here, and that the people might be taught and might love it and grow stronger in it. And, oh Lord, we pray for that time when that army will be complete, when every rank will be filled, when every stone in your temple will be there. Oh Lord, we pray for that day. We pray that whilst we're here, we might not fail to point sinners to Christ, to show that in him is salvation, full salvation. And Lord, now we thank you for these things in his name.